Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Sword and the Trowel today. Today, Pastor Tom and I talk with Paul Davis. He's the president of ABWE, and we talk about some of the work that they're doing in global missions and also the new partnership that's been formed between ABWE and Founders Seminary. I hope this conversation is helpful to you. Take a listen. Welcome to The Sword and the Trowel. The Sword and the Trowel is a podcast of Founders Ministries, and Founders exists for the recovery of the gospel and the reformation of local churches. I'm Graham Gundin.
And I'm Tom Askell.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Miller's Grove Soap Company and Lake Yale Baptist Conference Center as well. And fun fact, actually, the last time I was at Lake Yale Baptist Conference Center, there was Miller's Grove soap in the bathroom. So it was an added luxury there. Today, we are excited to have on the podcast Paul Davis. Paul Davis is the president of ABWE. Welcome to the podcast, Paul.
It's tremendous to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Paul, we're glad to have this conversation. We've tried to set this up, it seems like, for months now, and things have just kept knocking it back down the calendar. But it's good to have you here because particularly we want folks to learn more about ABWE, Association for Baptists for World Evangelism. And, you guys have been around. I like ABWE.
ABWE, yeah. That's good.
It reminds me when we started the Founders Ministries, we called it the Southern Baptist Conference on the Faith of the Founders. So it fortunately got shorted to Founders Ministries over time.
Yes.
But this has been around a while, right? ABWE has a long history.
Yes. We're getting ready to come up on 100 years. We were founded in 1927 by a medical doctor who was doing missions work in the Philippines with another agency back in 1927. And he was starting a college ministry and doing medical work. And the college ministry began taking on a life of its own. He was leading people to Christ. He was discipling. Churches were beginning to blossom from the young people's group there. And his mission agency sent him a letter to cease and desist and told him that the ministry there, the college ministry, was getting in the way of his rounds, his medical rounds that he had to make at the medical hospital. And so he did, but he went home and proceeded to start ABWE, originally ABEO, Association of Baptists for Evangelism of the Orient. And then when we spread out of the Philippines and around the world, we changed to the world. But we were started on really kind of something that would resonate with founders, where we were reclaiming gospel work in missions work during a time when the social gospel was really taking root around mission agencies around the world.
Well, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. And so you are an independent missions organization. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. So we're Baptistic in our theology, fully Baptistic, but we're not associating with any particular group of Baptists. But our theology is conservative, and we work from the premise that God has commissioned the local church to send missionaries. And so our role is to come up underneath the local church and to support the local church as it obeys the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So you mentioned ABWE really started in the Philippines and in East Asia, and from there spread out. In how many countries are ABWE missionaries represented?
Yeah, so we have ministries engaged in 90 countries right now.
Wow.
And we've got we're right at 1,000 missionaries. And so we've got North American missionaries that are planting churches and helping churches multiply here in North America and Canada. We've got national partner ministries. Our Live Global ministry is working with national partners to catalyze their gospel work and church planting. And then we have what we call our ABWE Go team, which is North American missionaries going into all the world, learning culture, giving their lives for a people group.
So nearly 1,000 missionaries, and these come from Are all Baptist churches, these are all Baptist missionaries?
They would all be Baptistic, historically.
Yeah, Baptistic.
Baptistic.
Right.
So Bible churches, Bible fellowship churches, some evangelical free, some that would be thoroughly Baptistic, but would be very like-minded in our doctrine.
But independent and not maybe calling themselves Baptist. And,
correct.
You know, that, it's like American evangelicalism is Baptist. There's exceptions, you know, but that's kind of the flavor overwhelming.
Right.
So 1,000 missionaries, this organization must be one of the largest then mission supporting agencies maybe in the world. Would that be safe to say?
Well, if you think of independent Baptistic mission agencies, we are one of the largest in the world, yes. And God has blessed us with a substantial footprint around the globe and historically. So it's a great joy to see what God has done over time, over the last 100 years. We're doing some work now to celebrate 100 years. And so I'm currently looking at some of our history, and it's amazing what God has wrought for the sake of the gospel and his name. Countries that are now filled with believers that had none decades ago. And so it's a privilege to be a part of it.
I was looking on your website earlier, and you actually have a catechism on there, you know, about, and some of the questions are taken right out of the introduction to the Shorter Catechism. And then some are unique, but are addressing issues of the day. And there's an ethos that just comes through even reading that. But I remember a few years ago, I was up there, and you were gracious to me and my wife, and we got a tour of the facilities there in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And even then, there was just, we walked away with that from that time with the different staff members that we engaged with and the conversations. And you can tell something about an organization by the people who work there, especially those who have been there for a while, and just how they think about life, how they treat you, how they treat one another. And we walked away very impressed with kind of the spirit and the atmosphere, the culture there. Tell us about that. Is that something that you guys intentionally think about, or do you just see that kind of as an outworking of core commitments that can be expressed otherwise?
Yeah, we're very serious about what I would call the culture of our organization. If you were to ask our missionaries, you know, when Paul comes to visit and he begins preaching, you know, what's one of the things that he talks about? And that is the culture or the way that we do things. I often talk about it as the aroma, right? Every organization has an aroma. And I want our team, and I constantly am reminding our team that we want an aroma that puts Jesus Christ first and foremost, that he is exalted, that he's our first thought and he's our last thought. Another one of our values is that we celebrate the gospel. And the idea is this, and I think you've probably experienced this. I've been in a lot of churches that are orthodox. Their doctrine is sound. And they understand the gospel, but they've gotten over the gospel. They've forgotten that they were once aliens and strangers and have been redeemed and set free and made new and have become joint heirs with Christ. And Christ indwells. And we forget that there's all this newness that comes in Jesus Christ. And theology is a beautiful outflow of this transformed heart. And so we want to always be celebrating gospel truths and the transformation that Christ has wrought in us.
There are few mercies greater than sacred spaces set apart for the soul's refreshment. At Lake Yale Baptist Conference Center, pastors find rest through sabbaticals, youth and children grow through camps, and churches gather for ministry events that strengthen the body of Christ. In a world full of noise, Lake Yale creates space to connect with God, with others, and with the mission. Lake Yale Baptist Conference Center. Connect here. Learn more at lybcc.com. That's lybcc.com.
I want to invite you to join me and Pastor Mike Law, Pastor David Schrock in Woodbridge, Virginia, July the 29th of this year, 2025, as we have a one-day pastor's seminar dealing with the issue of persevering in pastoral ministry and how you continue on through trials, difficulties, and uncertainties. We are going to spend the whole day together. It is exclusively for pastors and elders, those that have the responsibility of leading Christ's churches throughout the United States, and especially there in the Northeast region of the United States. If you need more information about this, or if you'd like to sign up, go to founders.org, and you will see Pastor's Seminar listed there as one of the events that is upcoming.
The third value we talk about is biblical family atmosphere. And the idea is not that we're over familiar with one another and you know, call each other brother and sister. That's not the idea of biblical family atmosphere. The idea is obeying the one another commands with and for each other. So we're tenderhearted. We're forgiving one another. We're instructing one another. We're rebuking one another. But we're bearing one another's burdens. We're edifying one another. And so these one another commands really define what a biblical family looks like. And when we obey those one another commands actively in an organization, you know, if you, one of the things about being a missionary is it's different than any other type of ministry because we travel with each other. We kind of live with each other a little bit as we're moving, you know, depending where we're at. And you really get to know if those one another commands are a part of your life. And so we actively work on that. And then we talk about humble confidence, mixing two words that don't normally go together. But, you know, our Lord and Savior modeled humble confidence with one day he's turning over tables in the temple with boldness and zeal for righteousness. And then, you know, within 2 days, he's kneeling at his disciples' feet, washing their feet. So Jesus had the boldness to address and confront sin, but he had a tenderness and a humility to serve others. And that's the type, or again, that's the aroma that we want our missionaries to have in the cultures that they're in, that they're gentle and servant-hearted, serving the pastors that they work with and the pastors that they're training around the globe. But they have boldness to when there's sin, when there's error, when there's, well, you guys talk about having that steel spine, right? That steel spine mixed with humility to not lord it over those that we're working with, but to come underneath them and to serve them. And our last value we talk about is that our lives and possessions are for sharing. And that we're not trying to build small K kingdoms all around the globe, but there's nothing that ABWE has that we've not been given. So there's nothing that we won't give that we've been given. So that, Tom, is really, we call those our values, but that's the aroma we're trying to create as we do missions around the globe and help churches send missionaries.
When you look at the overall picture of cross-cultural missions, what do you see? What are things that you're hopeful about, that you're encouraged by? What are some areas that you're perhaps troubled by? You know, just for the average Christian who's not perhaps very engaged in what's going on in global missions, if you give them a broad picture of what that looks like from your vantage point.
Boy, I'll share something nationally, then internationally. We get to spend a lot of time with a lot of pastors in and around North America. And I would say one of the things that concerns me, but also the flip side would be there's an encouragement to it too, is there seems to be a lot of, I can't describe it other than have and have not. There's churches that are getting the Great Commission. They understand how they must engage in gospel work. And it isn't just across the street. It is around the world, where we aren't just making the application of the Great Commission is going to all the world and make disciples of all nations. And, you know, the application isn't, okay, walk across the street and tell your neighbor about Jesus. Okay, do that. Please do that. Mm-hmm. Your neighbor needs Christ. But the application of make disciples of all nations is to engage local congregations in the sending of missionaries to gospel deprived areas. And every church can be a part of that. And I see the churches, even small churches, and I would say this, especially small churches. Sometimes my staff will, I'll get a request to speak at a church, and it's a smaller church, and the pastor kind of apologizes, hey, we're a smaller church, you know, and I tell my staff, look, we have so many missionaries that have been sent and launched from small congregations, but they're small congregations that understand they have a role in the Great Commission. And so they work and they sacrifice and they're committed to the gospel in ways that they work together to send missionaries. And so I see these churches, and then I see other churches that we talk about the Great Commission and eyes glaze over, and the prophet in me comes out, and I, you know, I yeah, it, you want to shake them and say, look, there, this lostness in the world, you know, we're talking, you know, billions of people that don't know Christ, and the chances of them even meeting a Christian in their lifetime is slim, let alone having an opportunity to hear the gospel and to respond. And so unless we're sending, and this is, unless we're still sending, and I would say North Americans, like the North American Baptist churches need to be sending to the nations, because you can walk into some of these huge cities around the globe and there are handfuls of believers. Yet we have well-trained, theologically sound pastors that could be going to these nations. And so so I see that dichotomy, and I would say it's encouraging. It's encouraging that so many churches get it and they're sending. We're getting ready to have our largest new missionary orientation class that we've had, that I know of, that we've ever had. And we have three classes a year where we invite new missionaries to come in, and they're onboarded into our organization. And this class, we've got over 40 new missionaries that are going to be a part of that. And so we're seeing tremendous fruit, and these are churches sending great missionaries to different ministries. But then there's these churches, and they wonder why they're dying, and they wonder why they're not seeing the hand of the Lord blessing them, and they refuse to see the lostness of the world. So that would be something that I'm seeing nationally, that on one side, there are churches that are getting it, that they're sending, and the other, there's dead and dying churches. You know, the same types of warnings that we see in the book of Revelation to certain churches, I think we're still seeing that happening in various ways around the nation today.
Are you looking for healthy bath and body products that are made by a family who unashamedly fears the Lord and seeks to build the kingdom? Well, Miller's Grove Soap makes handcrafted soaps and balms for the whole family. They only use quality oils and butters and grass-fed beef tallow, essential oils, and other good gifts from God's good creation in their luxurious bath products. So stop using harmful products from godless corporations and be a good steward of the body that God has given you. Visit themillersgrove.com today and see their spectacular lineup of soap and other products. That's millersgrove.com. Listeners to The Sword and Trowel can use code FOUNDERS at checkout for a 10% discount on your first purchase. Remember, life is short, fear God, build His kingdom, and use the good soap, which is Miller's Grove soap.
What if our understanding of Christianity and politics is fundamentally flawed? King of Kings, a reform guide to Christian government, is the result of needing to rethink political theology in recent years. In it, Pastor James Baird presents a bold and compelling case for a radical proposition that governments must promote Christianity as the only true religion. Drawing from Scripture, the Reformed Confessions, and the insights of the American founders, this concise but powerful primer offers a clear and urgent call to Christians. It's short enough to read in one sitting. It provides a gateway into a rich tradition that many have forgotten, and a vision for recovering it today. You can order your copy today at press.founders.org.
So what about in the international scene, in cross-cultural contexts? What are the challenges that seem to be universal? What are the opportunities? What encouragements are you seeing there? We get stories and have connections with folks that report, and all of that is in the mix,
yeah,
in the reports that we get. And it seems like the devil's always keeping pace and trying to take good things that begin to happen and hijack them,
right,
with wrong methodologies, with compromises here or there, and just sidetrack the work. So give us kind of an overview of, from ABWE's perspective, what's going on in those kind of contexts.
Yeah. One of the reasons why we're careful doctrinally is because we've seen the damage around the globe of false doctrine. Mm-hmm. And we're desperately trying to start sound, where we don't apologize for it, Baptistic churches around the globe that have good theology. And it's interesting and scary. You see where in the past, good, sound, theologically sound churches have been taken captive by the prosperity gospel and other false gospels, and that offer, I would say, tantalizing things that feed the flesh, and satisfy current cravings and needs and or wants with prosperity and health and wealth. And boy, we've seen that around the world. And it's one of the reasons why we're committed to theology. It's one of the reasons why we have every year International Theological Education Summit that our team puts on, and just getting international theological educators together to talk about theology and to talk about how we're going to train generations of leaders. It's why our partnership with you, with Founders Seminary, is something that I'm excited about, because we want to train up solid, qualified men of God who can go and plant churches around the globe, can train pastors to be solid theologically around the globe, and and protect churches from being taken captive by the enemy.
Amen. Yeah, we're excited about that too, Paul, and it'd be appropriate for us to mention that. And I think Edie Burns has recently become involved with ABWE. Edie's an old friend of ours. We support him as a church, and he's written books for Founders, and we've had him on this podcast. And so with his guidance and leadership, and as ABWE and Founders are working together trying to figure out what this could look like going forward, we've launched a Master's of Arts in Cultural Apologetics and Missions.
Yeah.
And I'm just incredibly excited about it. It's 60 hours. It's solid, biblical, systematic, historical, theological training, just right at the heart of what our MDiv program will be, with specifics then geared toward the apologetic and missiological concerns that right. those who are going to take the gospel in different contexts need to be sensitive to. So I'm sure there are other things like this going on. I don't know anything like this going on in a seminary that's committed to helping develop sharp minds and warm hearts and steel spines as Founders Seminary is. So, ma'am, thank you for being willing to work with us and figure this out and develop this partnership. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we asked E.D. Burns to come and help us revamp our training department. ABWE has always been committed to excellent training and preparing our missionaries well. But it's a new time, and there's a new generation. Many of the new missionaries that are coming to us don't have the theological background. You know, fewer people have been going to seminary and Bible college, getting Bible college degrees. So we found, hey, if we're going to continue to train men and women well, because we send a lot of women to do ministries around the globe too, we needed to revamp our training program. So we've asked E.D. Burns to come in, and we've asked him specifically, we wanted a theologically vibrant and highly practical training for our missionaries so that they can have tools to use to do ministry as they walk onto the field. And we're talking about specifically things like teaching English as a second language, you know, just a highly practical tool to be able to use immediately, virtually anywhere around the globe, but also having the deep, rich theological connection and character to be able to have a longevity and an effectiveness in ministry for the long haul.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about the curriculum, just looking at the core curriculum. I think there's like 15 hours of systematic theology. There's biblical theology. There's history, polemics, cultural apologetics. There's, as you said, English as second language, Bible translation tracks as well. And I think it's going to be a tremendously useful tool for those whom God calls to go into different cultural settings and try to bring the gospel. Because, you hate to send somebody who's not biblically grounded and who's not thinking in the kind of directions they need to be thinking in order to establish a beachhead. So, thank you again for the partnership. We're looking forward to the Lord developing this over the next years ahead.
Yeah, and Edie is really kind of the perfect guy for that. Yeah, you know, he's just, I mean, he's a scholar, no doubt, but he's got practical experience from, you know, different places around the country, both here in the U.S., primarily in Southeast Asia, and to be able to take then all that knowledge and all that skill that the Lord has given him, all that experience, and to be able to help to infuse it into new missionaries who are going out, I think it's just, man, that's perfect. This is exactly the kind of guy you want in that position.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell a story on him. I tried to get him to come to Harrisburg, where our headquarters is, to begin doing the work on this training, and he just told me flat out no. He was like, "Look, I am a cross-cultural missionary, and I train cross-cultural missionaries effectively because I'm living it out." Mm-hmm. And I'll come and do whatever you need, but I'm not going to move to Harrisburg. And we're going to stay doing ministry here, and I'm going to continue to learn and apply my theology and apply my learning and bring that to the classroom. And so I was like, first of all, I was like, oh, okay, know, like, that's not what I wanted. But secondly, I was, again, we've talked about spines of steel. You know, I was super impressed the more I thought about it, that this is a man who's committed to being a missionary himself and training missionaries. And just, I have goosebumps right now just thinking that's really what we want to have happen in our training department. And so I think all of our teammates that sit under his teaching are getting a tremendous blessing of both practical and deep and rich theological conviction.
I want to invite you to join us for the National Founders Conference, January 22nd through 24th, 2026, here in Southwest Florida. Bodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, along with Dusty Devers and Alex Kochman and David Schrock, will be joining me as we address the theme, Make Disciples, God's Mandate from the Home to the Ends of the Earth. We want to explore what God requires of His people as creatures made in His image, as well as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. For more information and to register, you can go to founders.org/conference.
I'm excited to introduce to you our newest children's resource. It's the 1689 in Rhyme, Old Truth for Young Hearts, by our very own Carrie Regnier. Children can understand more than we often think that they can, and that's why it's important to teach them early and often the basic truths of the faith. Carrie has produced a wonderful tool to help parents and grandparents to do just that. His rhymes, or raps if you prefer, are great for both young and old to internalize, memorize, and meditate on the truths of our great Baptist confession. He has helpfully summarized each chapter, maintaining the rich theology in each, yet he has also simplified each chapter in ways that even a three-year-old can grasp. Plant timeless truths in young minds. Grab your copy of the 1689 in Rhyme today at press.founders.org.
And that's been my experience with Dr. Burns as well, and just knowing him over the last several years and watching him as he's taken advantage of opportunities to be involved in this level of training, and then seeing some doors close and just waiting on the Lord to see what he would do next, and to find him now doing something that none of us could have anticipated 6 months ago. This has just been wonderful to see how God providentially has arranged it, and that he's a practitioner. It does make this training have a ring of authenticity to it that you just couldn't get it otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we need pastors training pastors. We need missionaries training missionaries. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see that coming to fruition.
You know, I'm interested, Paul, there's been somewhat of a trajectory maybe the past few decades of the downplaying of robust doctrine and theology for many missionaries that go out. It's obviously not universal, but Have you seen, other than your efforts at ABWE, have you seen kind of a reversal of that, just broadly speaking, in the missionary movement?
I would say there are different camps and different circles. I would say in our circles, I think there is a resurgence of it. We recently reworked our doctrinal statement and deepened our doctrinal statement. We strengthened every point of our doctrine, clarifying key doctrinal commitments. And I see a lot of other organizations taking their doctrinal statement, and I'm sure you've seen doctrinal statements like this where they have just like two sentences for each loci of doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to be broad and, hey, let's bring in. We decided to go just the opposite direction and say, instead of being broad on a variety of theological issues, we're going to be as tight as we think Scripture wants us to be, and we're going to be careful. And so we strengthened our doctrinal statement, taking what may have been two or three sentences and turning it into, two or three paragraphs. And, some would say for good or evil, but I think we're going to get better alignment with the churches that we're serving. I think the churches that we're working with and serving, the pastors that we're serving, I think they appreciate the clarity. They don't have to have the second and third conversation. You know, really, where do you stand on this issue, and where do we stand there, and what kind of church are we planting, and is our ecclesiology strong, or are we just, going to make some disciple movement somewhere? So I see some in Baptistic circles, other organizations committed to a depth of theology, but there are other organizations that are, I think, because there are fewer missionaries going from North America, they're trying to broaden to maybe to capture more. So I do think it's a mixed bag.
Well, I can imagine, going as a missionary onto the field with all the challenges and difficulties and trials that come to missionaries, going into those contexts having weak doctrine, it's like trying to build a ministry or a church there on sand. I mean, you need the concrete of solid, biblical, strong doctrine and deep doctrine. So that when those trials come and the difficulties come in missions work, that you have that anchor, you have that foundation, which you can continue to build your ministry and your church on there in those contexts. So, I mean, when I think about the importance of solid, sound doctrine when it comes to longevity in the field, and I can imagine that the weaker your doctrine, the shallower your doctrine, the more difficult it becomes. Mm-hmm.
And I would add to that connection to a local church.
Mm,
and it's one of the reasons we're committed to every missionary having a sending church and
amen.
Being a part of a sending church, because you know, you can go to the mission field with solid doctrine, but if you serve two or three terms, you know, there are theological issues that exist today that didn't exist 12, 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not connected to a local church that is keeping you grounded, that you have a connection with, that is keeping track of the theological issues that are percolating up that we wouldn't have talked about decades ago and but need to talk about now, a missionary can get isolated, especially if they're working in a difficult people group or a very isolated people group. And so we put missionaries on teams to keep them grounded and centered and to have a variety of gifts, because to plant mm-hmm. churches, many times it takes more than the gifts of one person, you know, it takes multiple mm-hmm. gifts. And then having every missionary connected to a local church and then having sound theology. That
amen.
To me mm-hmm. is a triad of longevity and soundness. You've got accountability mm. on the field, you've got accountability off the field, and you've got a sound biblical theological training.
And I think that spirit you just articulated is what makes this partnership just so easy to begin to work out, because that's our commitment as well. We announced the opening of Founder Seminary in January of this year,
mm-hmm.
and we've turned down over 80 applicants, and the overwhelming majority of the reasons is because they lack that kind of connection to a local church. And what seemed to be very serious-minded people said, man, but I love theology. I love to study. I'm a good student. But they're not being grounded, not being taught, discipled in a church where they are known and they know others, that the church can commend them. We've just told them, you've got a bigger priority than enrolling in a seminary. You need to get involved in a local body and have a church that can commend you. And so knowing that that's true for ABWE as well, this has just been kind of a real easy way for us to think together about, okay, how can we partner to help facilitate the good work God's doing in ABWE with theological training and taking advantage of the things that God is beginning to do here in raising up this new seminary. And
right.
we open our doors, God willing, next month. August the 11th is the first class, and we're excited about the students the Lord has sent us. I think the seminary's we've enrolled now like 24 students, if I'm remembering right. It's 23 or 24, and we got others in the pipeline. And several of those will be matriculating this fall. So it's an exciting time, and I'm so glad that ABWE is a part of it. Tell us, before we leave, how would someone who is sensing that perhaps God is leading them to cross-cultural missions, or a group of elders in a church say, hey, we've got someone that we believe needs to be exploring this, and perhaps even is ready now. We're convinced that, yes, this is what God has for them. How would they connect with ABWE, and what should they expect? What do you provide that could be beneficial to them?
Yeah. Well, for the individual, we encourage every individual that's thinking about missions to connect with the elders and pastors of their local church, and because they need to be commended by those pastors and elders in order to become a missionary through ABWE. And obviously being connected in the church, being active in the church, because we believe that you're going to be as effective of a missionary as you are effective as a church member.
Amen.
And so if you're not active in church, you're not serving in church, you're not connected in church, you're not a part of the regular body life of the church, that's not going to happen on the mission field. You're just transplanting disobedience to another country. Mm-hmm. So connect with your pastors, and then contact ABWE, and we immediately form a triad of communication between us and your church and yourself. We help assess calling and giftedness within the missionary, helping pastors and conferring with pastors about that giftedness and calling, and then exposing them to opportunities around the globe. Where are the needs? Where are the opportunities? Where are ministry platforms already in existence? Where are churches needing to be planted? What is the individual's gifts, and where would they fit? Would they fit better in an Asian culture or a Middle Eastern culture? And helping them assess and find locations. And we do that through a variety of means, but just contacting and getting in touch with one of our mobilization coaches, and they can begin that process. And I wanted to share this. One of the things that I do when I have an opportunity to speak to missions committees, many churches have a missions committee or an elder that's responsible for missions. And they often have like monthly meetings or weekly meetings. I encourage every elder board or missions committee that's running the missions program in a local church to be praying through the membership of the church, specifically that God would send laborers into the field. And I believe as you begin praying through the membership of the church, God will begin highlighting amongst the elders and the leaders of the church, young men who and young women who are gifted for ministry in a variety of ways. And I suggest to them, pray over that membership for a year. And then when you start seeing people, start having conversations with these young men. I know had the elders of my church growing up had a conversation with me when I was a young man and said, Paul, we see gifts of ministry for you in you as you're serving in our local church. If you begin pursuing steps towards missions, we would be supportive of that. Had my elders had a conversation with me like that as a young man, that would have been a powerful conversation. And I encourage elders, and I think this is where missions could get tremendous power. One, praying the Lord of the harvest. So it's the Lord of the harvest that's sparking within elders and leaders in the church in their mind. Who are these gifted young people as we see them activated in the local church? And then having the conversations with them before a young man gets maybe overly excited or overly zealous about something that he may or may not be gifted for. Mm-hmm. Because those become difficult conversations for us, when they apply to us and they're not active in their local church, they're just excited about something they saw happening around the globe.
Those are great words, helpful. I think there's a lot of pastors and elders in our audience who, hopefully can take some of those words to heart. And I'm sure that there are many, that are ministering in different congregations where they do see that in young men, mm-hmm. and perhaps young women mm-hmm. as well. And so, I'd encourage our audience to continue to have those conversations. Go to ABWE to get more information as well, abwe.org. And also, Paul, you have a website as well, pauldavis.com. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
You can go to pauldavis.com and get more information about Paul as well. And thank you so much, Paul, for being on this episode with us. It's a great conversation, praying for you, praying for the work of ABWE and the new partnership between Founders Seminary and ABWE as well. And thank you, audience, for being here with us in this podcast. If it's been helpful to you, we'd ask you to like and subscribe and share as well on all the different platforms that you listen to your podcasts. And we will see you next time.